would like to welcome our radio audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church. If you would like to help to support this, your gift would be greatly appreciated. Gifts may be sent to Trinity United Methodist Church at 333 South Chestnut Street in Seymour, Indiana. Our scripture this morning is from Ephesians 5:15-20. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as a universe, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand that the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of a reverence for Christ. Our sermon this morning is Full of the Spirit by Pastor Mike Seney.
Would you bow with me in prayer? Gracious God, on this day of Pentecost, we are so excited at the birthday of your church. Men and women had been waiting for a long time, looking for the promise of Jesus to come. They were waiting for something. They knew not what. They didn't know how it would change their lives. But they knew you would be behind. And you would be a blessing to them and to the world through them. Lord, continue offering that gift to us that we might be blessed so that we can make a difference in our world as well. Speak to our hearts this morning, gracious God. We ask in Christ's holy name. Amen. It was 3 years ago in August when Mary Ann and myself and our grandson Luke took a trip down south. We headed down to western Kentucky to a particular town that was going to be in the very path of a total eclipse. We'd never been in a total eclipse before, never experienced that firsthand, and we thought we'd take the opportunity. It was for me a double win because I got to go to the total eclipse, and also got to do something special for my wife on her anniversary. So, killed two birds with one stone. You might talk to her later and find out that's how she felt about it, but that's how I felt about it. But we were there during the total eclipse. We pulled into this town early on and found a parking lot, and guess where it was? The parking lot of an United Methodist Church, right downtown. So we parked in the parking lot, and we stood over by the church in the shade, because it was a hot, sunny day, of course. And we were there waiting on this eclipse to take place and to see what it would be like. As we used our special glasses and watched, we started to see the moon come across the face of the sun. And as the moon got about halfway across the face, a partial eclipse so far, I looked around, and nothing looked different. With half the sunlight cut off, everything looked the same. It just looked as sunny as it had been. Nothing looked different at all. So we kept watching. And then the moon was coming farther across the face of the sun, and it got maybe 3/4 of the way. So there's just that quarter of the sun still showing. And I looked down and looked around myself, and nothing was different. It was still a bright sunny day, even when only 1/4 of the sun was still visible. I was amazed. No difference. And then we watched as the moon got closer and closer to total eclipse. And at one point you could see, and there was just a sliver of the sun showing. And so I looked around at everything around me, and there wasn't a difference. It still looked like a bright sunny day. You would have no idea the sun was just a teeny sliver in the sky now. It still looked normal. Only when that full eclipse took place and all you could see was the ring of the sun around the edge of the moon, only then you looked around yourself and it looked like now dusk had fallen. All the outside lights of the church came on, street lights came on. That's when you knew something had changed. You could tell the difference, but only when the entire sun was blocked out, a full eclipse. Paul the Apostle is drawing on that same principle here of the difference between something being partial and the effect it has, and something being full and the effect that that has. Only he's not speaking here of a total eclipse. He's speaking here of a common experience in his community, and that was drinking. He speaks about here, don't get drunk with wine. Well, Paul knew that many people drank anyway in those days because water was sometimes dangerous to drink. And he understood, like anybody, that if you drink a little, you're going to have very little noticeable results. To drink a little means maybe someone will have a clue you've been drinking, but they might have some questions or not really pick up on that. And even in his day, if you drank some, there might be people who would look at you and go, I wonder if they've been drinking. Might start to see a few clues. But to be full of wine, to be filled with wine, to be completely full of alcoholic beverage, Paul knew, as anybody today knows, you have no problems noticing that. You can see when someone is fully intoxicated what's changed. You don't have to ask. You can tell the difference. It's very, very noticeable. So Paul is drawing on this image that his audience understood well. What happens when you drink a little to drink heavily? And he describes it in what happens when you have the Holy Spirit. For Paul, to have a little of the Holy Spirit in you, you will probably not show much of a difference in your lifestyle. People may not even be aware that you have asked some of the Holy Spirit to come in. If you offer more opportunity for the Spirit to come in, maybe even more reason to be a part of your life, people might notice something. They might ask if something's different. They might see some noticeable results. But what Paul wants his followers to understand is strive to be full of the Spirit. Strive to be full. To be full is to have great results take place. It's easily noticed. No one's going to ask if you have the Spirit or if something's changed about you. They will see it. It's obvious. You don't have to notice or don't have to ask anybody if there's something that's happened. Paul wants every follower of Christ to be full of Spirit, not partially. Not a little bit, but to be full. So what does Paul mean when he says be full of the Spirit? Well, he offers some elaboration here in these verses. I see three examples here that he gives as what he's thinking of when he says be full of the Spirit. And the first of those examples he says immediately is you'll see the evidence when you have a craving to sing together with the people of God. Now, the Jews who became Christians already had an advantage here. They already knew some songs. Jews were very well in tune with the Psalms of the Old Testament. And those were songs. And they were used to singing many of the psalms. They probably put the 23rd Psalm to music and were very familiar with it. So the Jewish Christians already had some hymns, some songs that bless their faith. And Bible scholars tell us that if you look carefully in the New Testament letters, you might be able to detect the presence of five hymns of the early church. Statements or even a little longer portions. They see the presence of maybe some hymns that Paul knew and others knew and were very familiar with. So the early church immediately began to sing together, to share their faith together in song. And so Paul here is saying that if you're filled with the Spirit, you want to sing together. You want to express your joy at what God has done for you. You want to celebrate God's grace with one another. When you're filled with the Spirit, you want to be inspired by the music you hear, or even to hear the challenges of the songs pushing you to greater discipleship. When you're filled with the Spirit, you want to sing together songs that encourage you about the future. Remember when I was going through the season of Lent with you and we looked at songs from Fanny Crosby? Just about in every case, Fanny Crosby would finish her song with the last verse speaking about the future, about our hope for heaven, and how we can be encouraged that that reward is going to be ours. Those filled with the Spirit want to be drawn in together to sing. This happened with a man named Cecil once. Cecil was a businessman and he had gone on his first overseas trip. He was in Taiwan for his work. He happened to be there for 2 weeks. That's a long time to be away from your family. And this was a day when you didn't have cell phones and you didn't have FaceTime and all you had was an occasional phone call. So Cecil was there for 2 weeks, missing his family terribly. And on a Sunday morning, he woke up and he knew that he had a day that he could just rest a little bit and get packing and ready, but he couldn't leave till after business was done on Monday. So he had this day to kill, you might say. So Cecil got up and got dressed and thought, maybe I could just stroll around the streets of Taiwan. Just kind of go down the shopping area and see what's open and what's going on and kind of immerse himself in a culture he knew very little about. He didn't even speak the language, but it'd be interesting just to walk around. So Cecil got up, left his hotel room and went down in the streets and just started wandering around to see what was there. After a while, Cecil started hearing music. He heard voices singing. And he thought that was kind of peculiar among all the shops and everything. But he thought he would go hear what was going on. As he got closer to the music, he recognized the tune. They were singing the old Rugged Cross. It was a church service. So Cecil headed down closer and closer until he came to this Chinese church. And he could hear very clearly in there, everybody singing in Chinese, but he knew the tune. He knew the song. So he walked in, and this elderly man who was the greeter, I guess, saw him and bowed to him and offered him a hymnal in Chinese. Well, that wasn't going to help him any. But he didn't care. He didn't know the language either, so he just bowed and smiled and he went over and stood in one of the pews. And as the congregation continued to sing the old Rugged Cross in Chinese, he felt he was the only one there singing it in English. He knew he kind of stood out a little bit. And people kind of looked over and smiled. But Cecil said, standing there in that church where he knew nobody and didn't even know the language, singing that very familiar hymn, he felt like the Holy Spirit was near him in a way he had never felt before. Because here he was with the body of Christ. Completely foreign to him, but the Spirit was the same. He was truly blessed. See, when you're filled with the Spirit, it doesn't even matter if you know the language. You want to sing. You want to be a part of that singing opportunity. And some of you are very good at that. You love to sing. Some of you have been asked to have a humming ministry instead. And that's all right. You can sing the Lord by humming. However you glorify God. And that's been truly one of the activities of the Spirit that we've really missed during these weeks of quarantine, isn't it? It's not the same singing virtually or with just the one or two as it is to be together in a congregation. So we've not been able to experience that as much as we normally do. But the other side, we've had a lot of opportunity. Because Paul says the next evidence he wants to offer is to be filled with the Spirit by singing in your heart. And we've had that opportunity in a great amount. To be able to sing to God in our hearts. To sing to God on our own. By ourselves. In our quarantine. In our isolation. In those moments, we give the Spirit an opportunity to inspire us. Whether we're listening to a radio broadcast and we sing along with the music, whether we turn on a computer and we're listening to music there, whether we grab one of those CDs that we have purchased over the years from all the beautiful singers and groups that have come to this church, and many of you have a nice collection of those CDs, they can truly be an inspiration when you are by yourself and singing to the Lord by yourself. You can even use the hymnal as a part of your devotions, as a way to praise God in your heart. I know there was one time that I decided to use the hymnal as part of my devotions, and I just simply started with the first hymn and just continued through the entire hymnal. Each day I would just sing that hymn to the Lord. And I would pay attention to the hymn. I'd look at the words, try to understand what the writer is saying. And that was the hymn for the day for me. And during the day, I would bring it up again. And I would sing it to myself again and to the Lord. And it's amazing how those hymns stick with you when you take time to sing it to God. To let it kind of get into your heart and stay there. I think that the more that the music of the church is ingrained in us, the more that the Spirit can inspire us and inspire other people. I want to give you a beautiful example of that. There's a woman named Nancy who is experiencing what many people today are experiencing, having a relative who is dealing with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. For Nancy, this is her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law is in memory care. She can't feed herself anymore. She doesn't talk much, if at all, and most of it you can't understand. She's not sure, Nancy's not sure if her mother-in-law even knows who they are. She doesn't give any clues there. But she and her husband always go every evening to check on his mother, to see how she's doing and to feed her her dinner. They want to be a part of her care best they can. So they've been doing that for quite a while. And they would check with the staff on how she's doing and how she's interacting. And most of the time the staff tell them that they haven't heard her speak for months. That she's just kind of in her own world most of the time. On this one evening, Nancy was feeding her mother-in-law her dinner. And it was like any other evening. She was just not quite there. Nancy decided on that evening, for whatever reason, to just start softly singing, "Jesus Loves Me, This I Know." And as she started singing that song, all of a sudden, her mother-in-law looked up. Her face got expression. Her eyes smiled with her mouth. And she nodded her head and she said so clearly, "Yes, that is true." And then the moment passed. And Nancy was so amazed that that song her mother-in-law had ingrained in her heart decades before. That song brought the connection again. Through those words, her mother-in-law could praise God in those moments with Nancy. And Nancy wondered that when she touched her with that song, could her mother-in-law be praising God in her heart in ways that Nancy can't know, that no one can see except God? Maybe they have a connection, a conversation going internally that no one here on earth can see, except in that moment when Nancy got to witness it. See, when that music is ingrained in us, it gives us a chance to always be connected with God. To sing in our hearts alone not only blesses us, but equips us then to maybe help someone else. Help someone else draw closer to God. Well, Paul mentions being filled in the Spirit by singing together and then alone singing to God in our hearts. He mentions one more evidence here. And that is to be thankful for everything. To be thankful for everything. Even as I say that, you're probably thinking in your mind, that's been challenging this year. It's been challenging for a lot of people. Still so many people who are out of work. Still so many businesses that have shut down. So much loss has been endured this year. To be thankful for everything. But even in the midst of this crazy year and how it's completely been flipped, God reminds us again that to be thankful for everything means to be reminded that life isn't about our achievements. Life is about God's gift to us, the gift of life itself. It reminds us that life is not about having always happy circumstances. But life is about resting on the promises of God when those circumstances are not happy, when things are not going the way we would like. That kind of gratitude that Paul speaks about here reminds us that life is not about the media telling us how we ought to live, but rather us having a mission, knowing why we are here and what God wants of us. And certainly that includes worship. Certainly that includes being growing in our faith daily. And it certainly means serving others. I want to tell you quickly about a man named Frank who found his mission. Frank was in an Indianapolis hospital many years ago. And he was just about ready for discharge. And the social worker came to him and was making sure that Frank was able to go home and take care of himself. And she found Frank very anxious. He wanted to get back home. And she asked him, "Well, why do you have to get back home?" And he said, "I need to help Ralph." Ralph was a 78-year-old widower who lived on the same block with Frank. And Ralph was a wonderful cook. And they got to know each other because they were both widowers. And Ralph decided he would like to cook a special meal for Frank once a week. So he'd come over to Frank's house and he'd cook a wonderful gourmet meal for Frank. And Frank decided he wanted to express his gratitude. What could he do for Ralph? Well, Ralph really didn't want anything in return. He just loved to cook and loved to bless somebody with it. And Frank said, please, let me give you something. Let me do something for you. And Ralph, kind of with embarrassment, said, well, there is one thing you could do for me, perhaps. You see, I've never learned to read, and I would love to learn how. Could you help me learn how to read? That became Frank's mission. He began teaching Ralph how to read. Simple thing like that. And Ralph continued to make him his meals. Now you would think that Frank should have been the kind of man who should have been taking it easy. After all, he was 93 years old. He should have been thinking of himself, right? He should have been thinking, my mission today is to get out of bed, to find the remote, to watch TV all day. No, he knew what his mission was. He had a mission to help Ralph learn something he should have learned years ago. That was his mission in life. And he looked forward to it, just as Ralph looked forward to the cookie. See, it doesn't matter what age you are. God can give you a mission. And a mission that makes a difference in somebody's life. Today we come with our own mission. We come knowing that God has placed us here for some reason. And we are grateful for what God has done. And after a while, we're going to express our gratitude in communion. And that certainly is a time of gratitude. Because no matter what happens to us in life, we know there's a Savior who died for us, who gave us this opportunity to remember His sacrifice. And without that sacrifice, we have no reason to sing, no reason to gather, no reason to have a mission. It seems to me that this year has tested us on how the Spirit can fill us. It's taken away opportunities to sing together, but it's given us more opportunities to sing to the Lord in our hearts. And it's tested us on what we think we should be thankful for and how to be really grateful. You see, God did not send the Holy Spirit to us to give us just a taste of it, or to give us a swig, or to offer us a partial blessing. God's intent is to fill us with the Spirit, to generate within us a joy that just can't be contained, to fill us with a Spirit that encourages us daily, no matter what life is throwing at us, to fill us with a Spirit that gives us such enthusiasm that everybody notices, and it attracts people to what we have. I hear Paul telling even us today, no matter your circumstances, strive to be full of the Spirit. Let it spill over out of your life. Make sure there's no one out there guessing if you have the Spirit, if you have a relationship with Jesus. Don't leave people wondering. Make it obvious. Make it very clear who you follow and why you're grateful for life. So in a moment, I invite you to lift up your voices to this living God. Let us be filled with the Spirit as we sing together, as we then go home and sing to the Lord in our hearts, and as we live every day in thanksgiving. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the invitation to not only invite some of your Spirit within, but to truly be filled with that Spirit. To be a people who can't help but have a reason to sing together, to sing alone with you, and to sing our thanksgiving for all that you've done for us. Lord, we are so grateful for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and may we continue to be filled with that Spirit to the point that others have no choice but to recognize we have something. We have something that's a blessing. We have something they might enjoy as well. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.